difficulties, but we are back. We are talking about our hats, our gear. Go to fightbookmma.com so you can do that. And or if you don't see anything that you, that's on our website, just hit me up on the DMs, and we will figure shit out. And I can send you pictures of what kind of merch we have. But other than that, we do have an awesome guest tonight. We have Bellator MMA fighter, Mr. Aaron Cruz. He is also a UFC vet. He was tearing it up at Fury FC. And there we go. We have our boy, Mr. Aaron Cruz. Aaron, sorry about that, man. We were at some technical difficulties. That's what happens when we go live, man. But we couldn't do it any better. You know, this is the way we like to do our shows, is live, because it's just raw and it's unscripted, and that's just the way it goes. But welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me back on, man. It's always a good time.
Hell yeah, man. I've been following you on social media lately, and man, you've been putting in some work for your next fight. So talk about a little bit about that, about your training. How's that going? Your thoughts on your opponent, brother?
Yeah, man. Camp's been going, you know, really good. This has been like probably like the most like organized camp I've had going into a fight, because usually it's just kind of like, you know, you show up to certain classes and then, you know, you hit mitts and, you know, it's not like the coaches are all on board. But then like I saw Henry Cejudo has like a vlog series, and it was, he had one leading up to when he fought Aljamain. And one of the biggest things he did was like in the very beginning, like before camp even started, he had all of his coaches in a room, like for a meeting, and on the, he had a big whiteboard, and he was writing out the schedule, like how he was thinking the schedule would work, you know, week by week. And then, you know, obviously the coaches were putting their input, like, no, you should do this here, and then we can work with this. And the coaches are talking to each other about how they can, like, you know, work with each other. I was like, man, I was like, that's so, like, that's like, you know, football level game planning, or like professional sports other than MMA. I think MMA is one of the few, or yeah, one of the few sports that like it's not really run like a professional, I don't want to say, I mean, it's a professional sport, but you know, like baseball and football, like there's like serious meetings with the coaches, and they're talking about how they, how they're going to, you know, plan for the next game, how they're going to do this and that. And I don't think MMA really does that a lot. So I had all my coaches meet up, strength conditioning coach, wrestling coach, my head coach, you know, and even my physical therapist is in contact with my strength conditioning coach. And, you know, we all figured out like, what is the goal for this camp? What do we want to do? What is the game plan? What do we need to do to get to that game plan to lead us to victory? And it was really cool. It's just awesome having everybody on board, you know, for this fight. And, you know, it's been a tough camp. I'll tell you what, it's been long. It's been a 10 weeks. It's been 10 weeks. I started 10 weeks out, and I've also hired a nutritionist, Thais Mendoza. She trains at Kaizen, you know, where I teach jujitsu and I train at. And my boy Lindell, Cheesecakes by Dre, he's been cooking my meals since 10 weeks out. So, you know, he drops my meals off at the gym. I've been eating clean, you know, like I said, since 8 weeks ago. And I mean, I haven't had a single like cheat meal or anything. It's just been these healthy meals the entire time. So best believe after this fight, I'm gonna get some pizza, lasagna, and some, you know, the taste.
Yeah,
tasty
for
food.
Sure, bro.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing good, man. You looking great, man. What do you know about your opponent here, man? Have you really studied his fights?
Yeah, you know, I've watched, you know, a few of his fights, or, you know, some of his, like, most recent fights a few times, but really my head coach, he's the one that's really, like, dissecting, like, everything. I mean, he gets into, like, minute per minute. He's breaking down every little piece, and he sees what Alfie does, maybe some tendencies and maybe some things that he has trouble with, and he'll break it down. He lets me know what the game plan is. He'll tell me, hey, I think these will work here, like a combo. I think this will work here. I think if we get these going, then this will work. And then if this doesn't work, then this will open up. And the good thing about, like, my head coach, Vince McGinnis, we're very compatible. So, I mean, we're always messaging each other certain things. Like, if we're watching a fight in the UFC or something, and I see something that I'm like, man, did you see like whatever this guy's out head outside single? Like, I think that'd be the way he set it up, I think that'd be really good. And he'll be like, oh yeah, you're right. We can try that out. And we just like piggyback off each other, and so that's been a really, it's been a really big thing, especially like us working so closely together for these past, it's been three fights now, like three fights that he's been in my corner and he's been my head coach. And like I said, we just found a real good stride, and we're very cohesive together. And I'm reaping from the benefits.
Yeah, man, it just the way you're describing it sounds like you have a real huge team, team support, man. Most people when they think MMA, it's just one person, but it takes a team to get that person there to those upper levels, and it sounds like you got your shit down, bro.
Yeah, 100%, man. I'm just fortunate to have the opportunity, and obviously to make another run in another large organization, after being released from the UFC. So it's cool to I've always said when I started fighting, I was like, man, I was like, I'd probably only fight till I was like 35. Like that'd probably be like the time I'd cut off. And I'll be 34 in September. So it's like, for me, especially like being in Bellator right now, I want to get in and get as far as I can, have the best fights, as many fights as I can, while I am fighting. Obviously, if things are going well and I'm not injured and I'm not tired of, training and doing everything as an MMA fighter, then, I could definitely push that timeline a little, past that until I feel like, the time would be done. But for now, it's like, I'm just, pedal to the metal, all in.
Do you pay attention to the odds, man?
No, never.
No? Good.
No.
Yeah, because people are saying Alfie's gonna beat you,
Yeah.
and I don't see that happening at all, man. Most of
Yeah, I
his
don't
fights,
either.
he's not a finisher, bro. He's not a finisher. He's
No.
all his
Yeah.
fights are by decision. He's kind of boring. Yeah, I don't know. You're a finisher, bro, and I don't think it's gonna be a good night for Alfie.
Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
either. And I'm definitely gonna go out there and try and finish. Like you said, I'm not, if you guys seen my fights before, I'm always looking to finish the fight. I to be honest, watching fights, I'm like, dude, you could be passing here, you could be advancing, you could be doing something, you can finish the fight here. Like I say that all the time, he could definitely finish right now if he just started going. And the same thing to me when I'm in a fight. It's not like that I'm rash and I'm like overly aggressive to where I make mistakes, but at the same time, if I'm in there, I'm like, dude, I'm trying to end this fight as quickly as I can, because one, I'm not getting paid to be in there for a full 15 minutes. If I go out there and finish the fight, in the first,
Yeah.
3 seconds, I get paid the exact same. So I want to get out of there. And two, for me, it's just like I want to end this person, sooner rather than later, because the longer they're in the fight, the ch their chances go up of doing something and then coming back with a win or something. So why not end it now, get it over with, and just nip it in the butt rather than let it ha let it keep stringing on. And they, like Kamaru and Leon, like in the fifth round, Leon, knocks him out with a head kick in the last minute,
Yep.
Yeah, one of the most
So
wild moments in MMA history, bro.
was crazy.
But I want to see you do a give him the old Robbie Lawler razzle dazzle, put him out in the
Okay.
first few
Yeah.
seconds.
Hell
Did you
yeah.
see Robbie Lawler get that knockout, man, for his last fight?
Yeah.
That was
Yeah,
pretty
I felt bad
awesome.
though, because Nico's my boy. So
Yeah,
I was like,
Nico's
I was like,
awesome, bro. I felt bad. I was
Nico's
rooting for
awesome.
Nico, and
Yeah.
I had him on all my picks, and Robbie Lawler went out there and starched him. I was kind of pissed, but
Yeah,
I was happy for him at the same time.
yeah, exactly. Like you could not be happy for Robbie, and then when they showed that whole highlight video of his career.
Oh,
And
dude,
I was like, man,
that got me
I was like, what are they
right
trying
here. I know,
to
right? You got all these tough guys, and then next thing you know, you're like, holy shit, that just got me in the field. Like, why? What's this shit coming out of my eyes?
It was cool though. I'm glad the UFC, like, I hope they adopt that for, you know, people that retire going forward. And that was the first time I've ever seen that before, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and Alon, of course, welcome back to the show. I
What's
know
up, man? Good to see
you
you.
were on episode 59 and a half. It was like a impromptu episode. I mean, the world was a whole different place back then. You made great strides in your career now. It sounds like you have great game planning, great coaching. It's good to hear that, man. And we've been seeing it happen out there. And I was going to say, your opponent, Alfie's pretty much spent his entire career in Bellator. Your new blood coming in there, and like you said, I've seen you say you want to go out there and show out and get a name next year, or get a number next to your name. So I indeed think that can happen. But you are a finisher. I noticed he's never been finished, so would love to see you get that finish, man.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, I've beaten undefeated people, and then was their first loss. So, you know, I could be the first one to give him the fin, you know, give him a loss that is a finish as well. Because I mean, he hasn't lost in Bellator. I mean, he's 5-1-1. Oh no, I'm sorry. Yeah, he lost one fight. I'm sorry. Against the number one ranked guy currently in our division, Alexander Shobley. So, and at the time, Alfie was ranked 9. So it's not like he wasn't fighting like trash people. I mean,
Right.
that dude's, you know, really
Yeah,
good.
what do you think about taking the trip up to Sioux Falls? Have you ever been that far up north, or have you fought? You never fought out there, I'm assuming, right?
I've never fought out there. I probably the closest I've been up that way would probably be like Nevada, like Vegas. I don't think I've ever been like, well, you know, way Midwest. I mean, I've been to California, but not like Upper California, anywhere up there. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I've heard good things about the falls, and like it's, you know, pretty pretty out there. But I hear there's not much to do. So.
Yeah, unless you go to like what is that old or Deadwood? I believe Deadwood's close by. If you get a chance, maybe check that out.
Oh, what is it?
It's an old what do you call it? Gunslinger, like gold rush town. Like, it's got a lot of history. So if you get a chance, you got
Okay.
time to spend before or after the fight, of course. Check that out, man. Because yeah, there's been quite a few LFA events that happened up there, but I don't remember
Okay.
there being a Bellator show. So this might in fact be like one of the first Bellator shows up there, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out, 'cause the only things that people have told me so far is like, you gotta go see the falls. That's like really all I've heard. So now I
Yeah,
got the falls and Deadwood.
but you go to the falls and then like everybody and the grandma's out there, so it's like,
Oh, true,
you
true.
know, it's, you can enjoy it, but not like really enjoy it, you know, because
Yeah. I'll
it's
definitely
so
look at the Deadwood
touristic. Yeah, go to Deadwood. Hey,
though.
Lon, I have a question. You mentioned
Yes.
earlier about the you know, implementing the whole Henry Cejudo camp, you know, having everybody there, like, you know, like you said, like how the professionals do it with soccer, football, you know, baseball, you know, those guys. Do you feel doing it this way, you know, from how you were training back then, do you feel like this is helping you as far as not getting injured? Because you have your physical therapist there on the phone, you have your coaches there pretty much 24/7. Everything is, I'm assuming everything is, you know, getting written down of what you're doing, your strength, what you're pushing, and your diet. I mean, you got all of that right there. Is it, do you feel more like it's helping you physically and mentally?
No, I definitely think it does, because like you said, like how my physical therapist is in contact with my strength and conditioning coach. They literally like coordinate, like I have physical therapy tomorrow, and she knows that my strength and conditioning coach does heavy leg day on Saturday, so she doesn't kill me with my legs on Friday, because you know then I'm going to be kind of, you know, 50% or whatever it is, you know, trying to do strength and conditioning with him. So that's one big huge thing. And then my head coach, he's also my striking coach, he will text my strength conditioning coach and let him know, like, hey, that's
You
one
know.
thing I want Alon, you know, to be a little bigger upper body wise, because I want him to be grappling, you know, a little stronger, a little heavier, whatever it is. You know, hey, he just had a really tough Tuesday morning MMA session, you know, so he may be a little spent. And then, you know, my strength and conditioning coach can, like, adjust, enlighten if it needs to. Yeah, I mean, everybody being in coordination, having their own, and everybody being coordinated and having each other's numbers also helps a lot, because then I don't have to be, like, a third party. You don't have to, like, you know, get a text from one and then text it to them and then they respond and then do this. They just text each other. I don't even know they're texting each other, you know, most of the time.
you just show up and do what they tell you.
Exactly. Or like my nutritionist and my chef, which is my friend, they talk all the time. Like, she's like, I need him eating this and eating this much and having this many calories. And he has like a list of things. And like I said, I don't even know. Like, I just, she programs the food, he cooks it, I take it from the fridge, I eat it, and then that's it.
That's badass, it's gonna get any dude. Easier, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, that sounds like a good marriage.
You know, this what you're telling me, like, I've never heard in all these years that I've been covering MMA and talking to fighters and having them on the podcast, the coaches, you know, the fighters, anybody that's involved, I have never heard anybody say anything like that, either by text or on the show. You know, it's like, I feel like what you're saying is something that all the fighters should start doing, because that right there is going to eliminate not making weight, injuries, and you're going to have an awesome fight. You're not going to be lethargic, you know. That's freaking awesome,
yeah,
man.
Not everybody has a team like that. Impressed.
Yeah,
no, maybe. But they should learn from Alon and from Henry. You know, it's something that I think a lot of coaches need to implement, this type of training camp. I like it, man. I think this is freaking badass that you're doing. And thank you for letting us know what type of training camp you're doing, man. Because I feel like knowing that you're doing that and you found that with Henry, I could tell my friends that are amateur fighters, hey, you know, my friend that fights in Bellator, Alon Cruz, he's doing this, what he found with Henry. Maybe you should do something like that and not, you know, get yourself injured every time you have a fight and get it canceled, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't train like Tony Ferguson, right? I mean, I know Tony.
That motherfucker's fighting this weekend too.
We love Tony. He's a madman, but you know, his training is pretty old school, I guess you could say. That's just the Kukui way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, you don't want to train like that, man. So
that's freaking badass.
It's
a super deep card. I just noticed our boy Josh Hill, he was on the show with us a couple weeks back. He's also competing. So if you see Josh up there, Talent Fight Book said, what's up? And I mean, it's 19 fights deep. And I forget that Jordan Oliver making his debut as well, too, on the card. So super legit, man. I mean, because 19 fights is 19 fights. But having yourself, I mean, DeAndre Higo's on the card. I mean, yeah, it's a pretty packed card. And I don't know which fights are post-limbs, but your fight is slated for the prelims, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool because, like, I was just going to say, like, my boy Kai Kamaka is on the card as well. And we just fought in Hawaii together. And now we're on the same card again.
That's awesome.
And also, my friend James Gonzalez is on the card. And we all fought in Hawaii, like in the Hawaii card. So now the three of us are on this card as well. So it's pretty crazy, which is, it's cool.
That's awesome, man.
Mark's buddy, Aaron Jeffrey, who has the best mullet. He's also on the card. So just the cherry on top.
My agent manages him. And he was actually one of the reasons that I joined Bellator, Aaron Jeffries.
He should be a reason you grow a mullet.
and keep the mustache. But yeah, so like, you know, when we were looking at whether we wanted to go to Bellator or PFL or, you know, wait out for the UFC again, he told me like Aaron's path in the Bellator, you know, because he had fought in the Contender Series twice and he lost both times. So then he was like, all right, like, let's try Bellator. And then he went to Bellator and just tell me like how much he likes it. And then like, you know, certain things about like how I think he made his debut against like one of the top 10 guys and knocked him out in the first round. And then, you know, from there, like his whole like career changed and the contract and everything. And I was like, dang, I was like, okay. And then he was telling, you know, like he makes good money off his sponsorships and all that stuff. So I'm like, okay, you, like that's a big,
you know, just answered my question.
Yeah. I mean, that's also a really awesome benefit, I guess, of fighting for Bellator is having, you know, the option to have sponsors on your, you know, shorts and shirt and your banner and all that stuff. So that's also really cool.
So we're really huge on fighter pay. Like we always push that fighters need to get paid. Obviously, nobody could be, you know, a Conor McGregor or, you know, a John Jones or anything like that, right? But we still feel that fighters need to get paid. So now that you've been with the UFC and now you're going to be fighting, it's your second fight with Bellator, the pay, is it obviously a lot better because you had those sponsors?
Oh, for sure, for sure.
You know,
I mean, even just starting out with Bellator, the pay was better, you know. So, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, Dana says it all the time, right? Like, if you don't want to fight, he's like, well, fine. There's always someone that's going to take your place. So, I mean, even though, you know, the UFC usually starts you at like 10 and 10, you know, if you don't want to take that, like they can always find somebody to replace you because everybody wants to fight the UFC and then they'll take it. They'll take that 10 and 10. I just like that Bellator, you know, takes care of their fighters, especially like, you know, debuters like me. You know, like I said, the pay wasn't bad and, you know, I have the option or opportunity to make more on top of what I'm getting paid, which, you know, helps a ton.
Which you deserve. Nope.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And you don't have to wear those horrible rock shoes, which you don't get paid
for. Oh, yeah, fucking shoes.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's good to hear, though, Alon. I'm glad you're getting paid. Like I said, I know that, you know, we talk about a lot on the show, like Rob said. I've been an advocate for fighter pay for many years, covering fights, you know, 10 years ago. The game is, of course, forever changing. It's very limited, the number of fighters out there that make, you know, the Conor McGregor money, which he's probably one of one. But yeah, you got to be a longstanding champion, have, you know, time sponsors or stuff that the UFC does allow. But yeah, man, I'm glad they're taking care of you over there at Bellator and really hope they would come back to Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's been so long since they've been here in New Mexico. I definitely think that's a show that would sell out. So,
hey, if they have one, I'll try and be there.
Hell yeah, man. That would be the bomb. Then I would finally get to meet you, man.
Hell yeah. Hey, like I said, if one pops up in New Mexico, I'll definitely tell my agent, throw me on that card. Get me on
Fuck
there.
Fuck yeah. Hell also, yeah,
too, I wanted to ask you, Alon, too, would it be a bucket list check off if you were to – we're going to be talking Bellator Ryzen here. Is that something you'd love to do, is make that trip and compete on one of them cards?
Is it in Japan? It's in Japan, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I've always wanted to fight in Japan. I mean, I'm a big Pride fan from back in the day, and they do the fights in the ring, right?
Oh yeah,
So I mean, it would be basically like fighting for Pride or the closest thing to Pride, you know?
Yep.
So I mean, I probably would. Yeah, I mean,
that'd be a dream come true, man.
I wouldn't like
a
plane ride, but I would definitely, you know, be down for it.
I could see that.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty cool too. Like how they have the Pitbull brothers. They first, I think, when they debuted in Bellator, they fought on the same card. Never fought again on the same card, and they'll be, in fact, fighting this Sunday or Saturday night.
Right.
But where you're at,
it's gonna be a solid card.
Yeah, that opportunity may come knocking, Alon, especially with the hard work you've been putting in, the changes you made, and you know, definitely looking forward to seeing that show out. In Sioux Falls, man. And who are you taking up there with you? It'll be cornermen and family, anybody coming with you special?
It'll just be me, my wrestling coach, and my head coach. And I think one of my sponsors, Angry Elephant Tattoos, Gene Farmer, he's been to like my last well, he was at my contender. Since he saw me at the contender series fight, he's been in every single fight. So he definitely, I think he's probably, I'm pretty sure he's going to be there as well. And then anybody on top of that, I don't know.
Nice. All right. Off topic. Do you believe in aliens? The yes. Paranormal? You do. Have you had any experience?
Man, yeah. So,
give it to us.
Later, better right now. We were at this thing. It's called Snowcat or something like that, mountain or something like that. It was like because in Florida, it was like half snow. But it was like one of those things where they like make a snow sled and like, go down, like mm-hmm. like fake snow. And it was this whole thing. Well, we were waiting at the top. Like we had gotten our tubes, and we're going to the top, and we're sitting up there, and we're all waiting in a line. And all of a sudden, we look to the right. So like the slides are this way. We look to the right, and there's this like, it's like a white ball, and it just kept like it was coming towards us, but like kind of slow, and then it looked like it was like it was breaking a bunch of like sound barriers, right? So like there was like little cloud rings as it was coming towards us, and I was like maybe it's a jet. We actually got a picture of it in some video, and I was like maybe it's just a jet or something, but it's really flying. And then it just like stopped, and it was getting brighter. It stopped right here, and then it just went backwards like that. Like I tell you, it was the weirdest. Like it didn't like make like a loop or turn around. And it had a trail. And like I said, it just came out at one point, and then it just started going back, like backwards. And I was like, yo, and everybody was looking at it. Like there was like,
so what do you think it was
on the top? I mean, either they're doing like some government, you know, new training with some new stealth bombers or something. Or it was UFO. Like I don't know
what else. Bro, no lie, man.
Rudy got something last Thursday.
Yeah,
night.
Last Thursday really? Night, man. I went outside after the show. Went outside out back, and you know, I was lighting one up, and I see something. I thought it was like ducks, but I was like, those are weird ducks. They're just flying in a straight line. And it started getting closer and closer, and it was coming really fast. And I recorded the whole thing, and it started coming really fast. And as it got closer, I could see like the lights were spinning on this fucking thing. And it got over my house. It was huge, bro. It was like a huge, it looked like a UFO. People were telling me that was Elon's Starlink satellites, but I don't know.
Really?
No.
I've seen the footage of these Starlink satellites, and this didn't look like that. I mean, I could see like an outline of this stupid thing, and it shot straight up in the sky. I was like, why would a Starlink satellite just shoot straight up in the sky? And the weird thing was, you know, I was just kind of, you know, playing it off, and then I started hearing helicopters outside. You know, there was like three helicopters over my neighborhood, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Were you scared? I'd have been
scared. I was. My wife got home with some Chick-fil-A, you know, and she's like, are you going to eat this? I was like, honestly, I am freaked out right now. She's just looking at me like I was crazy. I was explaining to her what I saw. She was like, well, I saw the helicopters, but I didn't see a UFO. I was like, man, well. And then the next day, there was another UFO sighting. And I, you know, this lady that cut my hair, she was showing me video of it. And I was like, what the fuck is going on in this area, dude? I live like an hour away from Starlink, Starbase.
Oh, maybe Elon's doing some crazy stuff over there. He's testing some new stuff out.
I don't know, man.
That's on that crazy.
Elon, who do you got, Musk or Zuck? How does it happen?
Man, I like Elon. You know, and I respect Zuckerberg for like training MMA in the first place and doing jiu-jitsu and stuff, and then competing. He competed, you know, at a public tournament, which like that's pretty crazy, like for a guy like him to compete at a public tournament, like that was kind of cool. So maybe he'll like become a little more normal and like not as like, you know, how he is. But I'm probably gonna take Zuckerberg, man, just because he's already been doing the training. You can see he's flying in GSP, he's flying in all these different coaches, and fighters to come like help him and train. Elon, I've seen him post a couple times, maybe like a couple of people, but it just doesn't seem like he's training as much as Mark is. And Mark's like already in shape. Like he's way better
Dude,
shape than
that
Elon.
he's a
How much of a difference do you
fucking.
think,
The size? I've heard, dude, that I don't want to say
Elon's
it, but
big.
I'm gonna
Elon's
say it.
big.
Elon's big, and people say he's got like Mongo strength. And
Really?
yeah,
Wow.
like, it's. I'm like, yo, I don't know. I think if Elon gets his hands on him, he's just gonna fucking club him.
Really? I
I
don't know,
smother
man. I
him.
mean,
You gotta smother
yeah,
him Roy Nelson style.
smother.
I think Zuckerberg just recently got his blue belt under Dave Camarillo out there.
About gorilla jujitsu. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so that's legit. I mean, like you said, respect him for doing that and continues to compete. And then we have entered definitely what I've mentioned, Alon, is the twilight zone in the MMA world. So that fight will, it probably will happen, but I had to ask you, man, since we last had you on, just about everything and anything has happened. And
Yeah.
that fight probably UFC 300. I don't know. We always throw it out there every week and try to play out what kind of scenario the UFC's playing with this card. Conor McGregor included. They
It's
have something
Conor
special.
McGregor, Nick Diaz, three. It's gonna be the undercard on
Oh.
that UFC 300, so
Oh, for
Hey.
The first fight on the prelims.
Oh,
That's how good
jeez.
it'll be. Yeah, it'll be
That's
sick.
how good it'll
Oh man. Hey, Mark, do you have a question for Elon, man?
If you weren't fighting, what would you be doing as a career?
As a career, I mean, like if I stopped now or like if I had never
No,
gotten
if you
into
never got into
fighting,
fighting, what would you be doing? If you
okay.
weren't fighting at all, what would you be doing?
Jeez,
That's
I
a
don't
weird
know.
question.
I didn't really have anything that I want because when I was 15 is when I started training, and that's when I knew I wanted to fight. So I never really was thinking too much about like what I was going to do after school. I mean, I went to our community college for like a year and a half, and I was just there for business administration, like like a really basic degree because I didn't know what I wanted to do. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've known I wanted to fight since I started training. So,
Wow.
I was very frail and skinny. I wouldn't be like in shape or like probably as big as I am now. So it probably wouldn't be anything physical. Shit, I don't know. I don't know.
That's a weird
Thank
fucking
God I
question,
didn't go
Mark.
down that. Thank God I
I'm
didn't go down that
sorry.
road.
Weird can That's a weird Canadian question.
It's a good one. I
That's a
mean,
good one. It is a good one.
that's
It's like, I don't
a
know. I've never really thought about what I'd be doing if I'm not doing it now. Like,
Yeah.
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, no.
I guess it's no different from like a normal life, right? Like if I asked you, what do you think you'd be doing, if you
Being an
didn't figure out you
asshole.
were going to do this,
I'd be still be an asshole.
He'd still, Mark would still be a Canadian asshole.
Yeah.
No, we let
Yeah,
him. Yeah, good
moving
question.
our
No, yeah, because it's been martial arts have been your whole life, Alon, so very understood. You know what I mean? Because yeah, it's and shoot, where you're at now in your career, though, everything, all the, you know what I mean, the hard times and stuff you've been through. That it's
Yep.
I mean, going to Bellator. Like I said, I'm glad they're taking care of you over there. First time I ever seen you, and I'll never forget when you fought our boy Steve. What a match!
Yes.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Never forget
Our
that,
boy
man.
Steve Garcia, man.
Steve's been on the show, and I mean, man, maybe one day think you guys can run it back. But that was some epic stuff, along. And since then, been a fan, man. It's always great to see you out there. You'll forever be remembered on the, the Contender Series, one of the best knockouts ever. And I know that the series is about to start back up again. So, is there anybody out there, training partners, guys that you that are on the rise, coming up, maybe competing in Contender Series or up and comers?
We got fighting for the United Fight League, Brandon Lewis. He fought in the Contender Series twice. He lost both
Oh, okay.
times. Now he's fighting for United Fight League. He likes it over there. My boy Max Quinones just fought at CFFC. He's now 4-0. I mean, he went out there and melted this kid in the first round. And before that, he had a big flying knee, which made me proud. He knocked this kid out with a flying knee, but Max is on the rise, man. Watch out for him. He's 4-0. He's pro. He's really good. And he's in his, like, you know, some fighters are just, like, on fire. Like, they're just, like, really, like, and that's where he's at. Like, I feel like I told him, like, literally when we were in the back room before he went out, I was like, dude, I put my hand on his shoulder. I was like, for some reason, I was like, I feel like all of your fights from now on are going to be highlight finishes. Like, I don't know why. Like, I just see, like, you're just going to burn through everybody. And then, you know, be in the UFC or wherever he wants to go. We got a bunch of amateur fighters from Kaizen. Shout out to them. We actually got 5 people fighting in one night. So that's going to be a little crazy, you know, helping corner them. There's some pro. Well, and then there's one of them's pro, Tyler DeHaven. But, you know, shout out to the amateur, you know, to our fighters at Kaizen, you know, representing Jim, you know, this weekend. And happy to see it.
Right on, man. Alon, it was a pleasure, bro. It's always fun having you on the show, man. We just we need to have you on more. We can't wait 100 episodes and then have you on. So we gotta make it to a point. Yeah, gotta make it to a point where we have you on as a regular guest, like we have Tim Means, Steve Garcia, and some other guys that, you know, they're always down to come on and jump on the show. So we really do appreciate it, man. Before we let you go, brother, tell everybody where to find you on social media. Give a shout out to all your sponsors, man.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on again. And, you know, let me, you know, share what's been going on in my life and what's going on with my fight. you can find me at Alon Cruz, AALONCRUZ on pretty much any platform, and it's my name because nobody else has my name, luckily. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, nice, whatever. Just, you know, AALONCRUZ. And then shout out my sponsor, Crucial Colors. That's why I'm wearing this shirt. My boy George, he's been sponsoring me since, you know, ever since I got, you know, from the cup in the UFC. He's always been one of my sponsors, and he's always willing to help out. You know, he's, you know, especially like monetarily, it helps, like, you know, he'll help me with plane tickets and stuff like that. And that's huge, you know, because, you know, yeah, we're fighting, we're making money, but people don't realize how much goes into camp and the actual fight, you know. So you're grossing a certain amount, but you're only netting, you know, a certain amount, right? So also Angry Elephant Tattoos, the farmers, Gene Farmer and Beth, like I told him, he'll probably be there. He's also one of my, you know, biggest supporters. And, you know, without him, I definitely wouldn't be able to train like I need to. He's, you know, hooked me up with a lot of things that and resources. So, you know, I appreciate them. I got a new sponsor, Ampere EV. They actually convert gas-powered vehicles into electric vehicles. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, it's kind of cool. So, I mean, if you guys ever need one, they're based out of Georgia. If you guys ever need to, if you feel like you want to go down the EV road, but you don't want to go buy a Tesla, you can turn your Civic into an electric vehicle.
I'm waiting for my Cybertruck, bro.
The Cybertruck. Oh, yeah. Whatever comes out. Shit. Yeah, Bayshore Fit. They let me, you know, they let me train there and use their facility. That's where I do my strength conditioning with my coach, Coach Frederick. And yeah, I think that's really about it, sponsor wise. If I forget, I'm sorry, because I there's a lot of people thinking, you know, not enough time.
Can we get a quick shout out to the dog that was in the background?
Oh, Zayden, that's my boy. Yeah, Zayden.
We're huge dog lovers here, man.
Oh, really? He's about to be 12. He's old, but he's still spunky, man. It's fine because when he eats his dinner, and I let him outside, the first thing he does, he runs to his bed and he starts humping the blanket.
So he's a puppy, bro. He's got, 12 years old. He's got a long life. I had a dog. He lived 19 years, bro.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. The longest I had one was 17, and it was my grandma's dog. But he was like, by that point, he was like blind and, you know, he was all jacked up, and, you know, luckily he went by that point. But that's awesome though. 19 years. That's crazy, man. That's awesome.
Right on. Sweet. Well, Lord, thanks again, brother. Really do appreciate it. Again, you know, David Hill, he'll let you know, when we got a free time for you to jump on.
Yeah, let me
Hopefully we
know.
can get you, yeah, let's get you back on real soon after your fight, so
All
that way
right.
we can talk about the badass knockout that you're gonna deliver.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
No,
Hell yeah.
no pressure at all, but we need to see that flying knee
Don't you
knockout
put that
from you,
on me,
man.
Ricky Bobby.
Yeah,
Thanks,
please
y'all.
go there, Steve.
Appreciate it.
Later,
Yeah,
dude.
thanks for the time, Alon.
Yeah, thank
Bye.
you.
All right, brother. Later.
Peace.
Hey, Alon. Hey, Alon. That's how I always remembered how to spell his name right.
Yeah, he'll be everybody listening. He'll be fighting Bellator 298 in 2 weeks, August the 11th, headlined by Logan Storley and Brendan Ward. So it's a stacked card with a
19 fights, dude. It's
a
you're
bunch
getting
of
your money's
non-associates.
worth.
Like, there's like half the card is like been on the show. Like he's saying, they're people that he knows. So it's good to hear. That's always the way the fight book sitting ringside ways go. So yeah.
That's
But yeah.
awesome. I love man. I love when he's jump when he gets on the show. He's just so fucking awesome. And I love that he believes in the paranormal and UFOs.
Bro,
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the way he talked about his team. I mean, like you said, I've
Yeah,
never heard
dude.
anybody really
No.
go that deep about their team. It makes me believe in what they're doing. And I mean, he didn't even go that deep into it, you know?
No,
Yeah.
no.
Having it
It's
simplified like that, you only, like you said, you reap the results. And I mean, making changes like that, when you depends on what you, I mean, how long you've been training. You've been training with the same people, like Tom Aspinall. He got rid of his entire coaching staff, switched everything up. What happened? He goes out there and gets an 8 second KO, Marcin
Right.
Tybura. So that's why I want to transition to touch on UFC London. Little recap on that. We will have Outside the
Happened, he
Cage
goes
news
out
and
there
get
and
to the
gets.
stacked UFC 291 card. So you guys take, well, the Tom Aspinall fight. If you blinked, you missed the fight. But that guy coming back to the same place where he blew his knee out and starching out Marcin Tybura, man, like I knew he'd fit. I picked him by finish, but not like that, not fast, right? Like.
I mean, this dude Todd, he just fucking just came in and said, "You know what? Fuck you guys. I'm gonna finish this fight right now. I need to go. I got some stuff to do."
Yeah, man.
He
And I
doesn't
mean,
want to risk getting hurt again. I mean,
no. I
I
mean,
wasn't impressed. I think it's a pussy move.
Marcin Tybura, tough bastard, man, too. So like the whole John Jones thing, like the call out, like Tom Aspinall previous to his knee injury was already slated to be like the Sergey Pavlovich, up in the mix. But now he's definitely got his name in the hat. And John Jones should know how tough Marcin Tybura is. He used to train with him at Jackson Wink. You know what I mean? So big time win for Tom Aspinall. And I think he's on standby, man. The Stipe Jones fight, it's pyramids. I don't believe it's going to happen until it happens. Tom Aspinall's ready to go. I'm gonna leave it at that.
Yeah, dude, I think Tom Aspinall, he's
I don't like seeing like some of the articles I've been seeing that Tom is gonna destroy John. Tom has a shot against
Oh.
John. I'm like, bro, you're getting a little too ahead of yourself, all right?
Yeah,
Like I
no.
would like to see him fight someone like Ciryl Gane and see where it goes from there. That'd be great.
Hey, that's actually a good call right there, man.
Yeah, because the heavyweight division, like Stipe and Jones, like we said it a few times. I've mentioned it. Like that may be the last time we see both of them. If Jones wins, maybe he retires. Maybe if Stipe starches him, what a way to go out beating fucking the
Right,
GOAT.
I
So
think his next fight's probably gonna be, it's gonna be either Rozenstruik, or
or Derek Lewis, all right, who's fighting this
nah,
weekend.
he's fighting this weekend, bro. I hope he wins, man. I really do.
But yeah, Aspinall's he's right there because Sergey Spivak and Ciryl Gane, that's a definite title eliminator
Yeah,
possible.
Spivak. That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah, Mark Ambi Miller's brother.
Where is Mark?
He said he had it crashed on him Zoom, so I don't know if he doesn't know or not. So, moving down on the card though, we predicted this, we called it to the T. I don't ever want to see Molly McCann on a main card
Fuck,
again.
dude.
I
I
want to see
guess
her
like,
on the prelims.
yeah, she's
I
moving
want
down
to
a
see.
weight class,
She
but I
needs to fight on a fight that's not even televised.
Bro, I'm telling you, I got bored. I just like I said I would, And I stopped watching it, and by the time I knew it, the main event was over because it was so so quick. So it was just like, I didn't even watch it. You know, this.
You're not a real fight fan.
I was watching the whole thing, bro, and it just it got. I just it was boring, bro. It was fucking boring. Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's a sandwich fight of the night, you know, and it was a co-main event, and it just, I don't know, fuck that fight.
Yeah, Jaleja did win, or whatever, however you say her name, she did win by submission, first round. It is what it is, but it just like what we said, this fight was going to be a boring fight, and it was a boring fight.
Well, it was a big mismatch, and I think like Molly McCann afterwards said that she's moving weight classes. Like, that's not just going to solve all the problems. Like, she's going to fight killers and grapplers there too. Like, they're not going nowhere. You know what I mean? I mean,
moving weight class, what is that going to do? You're still going to be the same boring ass stupid fighter. Well, I don't want to say stupid, but boring.
You're just going to be a fat bitch. A fat bitch fighting in a lower weight class.
Oh my god. Now, will she make weight though? Will she make weight?
I don't know, bro. I mean, they call her Meatball for a reason.
Well, yeah. She's friends with
Patty. Patty the Fatty and Meatball. I don't know. Bro.
She gets another co-main event. Next fight, calling it.
Yeah, the next co-main event's going to be a next card in London.
Yeah, the same shit over and over again.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Let's thank Paul Craig right now for saving this card.
Oh, dude.
Paul Craig.
Who did he call out? Bo Nickel? Like, that's dope, man. Like, if Bo
Nickel can get Paul Craig,
I mean, he's the real deal. But, I mean, I don't think he needs to go down level in competition to Bo. Bo is still on the rise. I think Paul Craig could do some damage at 185, though.
I mean, oh, yeah, bro. He looked really good, bro. Really good. And he's a motherfucker, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's got wins over, you know, he's got a win over the 205 champ, Jamal Hill, broke his arm. Like, Paul Craig's a warrior, man. Like, that guy is definitely, like, 185, I don't know. Adesanya doesn't got an opponent, like, or Chimaev, whatever. Like, keep Paul Craig on standby for either of those fights, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
But my lock of the night came through. I got bragging rights. I told y'all Danny Roberts would get KO'd cold. And Johnny Parsons delivered.
Dude, that was brutal.
But yeah, the overall rating of the car, I give it a 4.2.
I give it a fucking 3, bro. I like the, you know, a fight I really enjoyed was Chris Duncan and Yanal Ashmuz. Ashmuz had his wrist broken, like, in the first round, and he fought with one arm, you know, the rest of the fight. So that was really impressive. I think the most disappointing fight was Sean O'Bannon and Bruna Brazil. Shauna Bannon just, bro. Oh. She looked like Molly McCann, but yeah, taller.
Yeah.
I think, I picked 13 of the 15 fights correct. Bragging rights.
Yeah, you did good, man. I think I got like 12 or 11.
I should have got 14 because Davy Grant got robbed. I don't know what the judges were looking at in that Daniel Marcos performance there, but yeah, just based on the strikes, there wasn't much takedown or control time. Davy Grant got robbed in his own country. So, yeah. But, yeah, no, that – I mean, there wasn't – oh, man, the main card just – we kind of predicted the way it was going to go and disappointed, though. Tom Aspinall's 5-second KO was cool, whatever. But, yeah, not the greatest card. And we talked about four. It not being the greatest card.
It's a 4. It's a 4.
I give it a 3.
All right.
But before Let's we go. Get – 291. It's time for that portion of the show, Rudy.
Yes.
Let's get to it. Oh, you want to do some
outside the cage news?
There's tons of stuff that's always happening outside the cage that sometimes is more interesting than what happens in the cage, right, boys? But this week, man, inside, outside, starting with outside, I'm starting with Mike Jackson fighting Pat Miličić. Right,
that's bro. Dude, I texted Pat and I sent him that picture of the fight poster, and I was like, Pat, is this real? So I'm waiting for him to confirm because he hasn't said anything, so I don't know.
I think it's real, man, and I hope Pat destroys Mike Jackson. Mike Jackson's a racist piece of shit.
Yeah,
Dude, I think Pat Miletich has been calling out this fool for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, so is Jake Shields.
Yeah, it should be Jake, but I mean, if it's Pat, that's cool. Maybe we could talk to Pat about it. He's previously been on the show with us before, so I mean,
yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was like total out of ballpark left field news. That I mean, we're in the Twilight Zone, so it's necessary. Fuck it, Mike Jackson. Hope he gets his ass beat by Pat or Jake Shields, one or the other. But the Ben Askren, Jorge Masvidal kind of stirrup. You guys think that's possible? They do get the rematch done, or?
Bro, I don't ever want to see Ben Askren fighting. I don't. I don't want to see another fight of his.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be boxing or MMA or mixed rules or what the hell it's going to be, but it'll be.
I want to see him do karjitsu.
Yeah, he'd probably be the champ.
He probably could.
Yeah, I don't know, man. If it does happen, I want George to win. I just don't like Ben Askren.
Fat George. You got to call him Fat George because.
Fat George, yeah, because he got fat.
Well, he's in good shape now, though. That's the thing. Like, he's actually in really good physical shape. And then Masvidal was kind of saying he had a fight booked, right? We talked about it with Marcel.
So, yeah.
Oh, man, I know Jorge's got maybe a couple fights left out there. If it's in his own promotion or whatever the case may be, because there's several different organizations that will put it together. It won't be in the UFC, of course. But it could be just some celebrity boxing fight that happens or that we don't know that's happening until it actually happens type deal.
So, mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that's kind of weird that came about, but I mean, I'm all in on it. The rematch, fuck it. Let's do it. Shit show boxing. Let's go. I want to talk Sean Strickland and Israel Adesanya is not happening. I'm sad. I don't know. Like I was just talking about Paul Craig. Like I have a strange feeling, guys, that like, Chimaev is going to fight Izzy. Like, the Costa fight's just, like, a little, just, you know, whatever. They're fucking around, Twitter, the same old shit. What do you guys think? Chimaev goes down to fucking Sydney and fights Izzy, right?
Dude, if that happens,
pyramids
up the ass, bro.
But who is fucking does he fight, though? Like, I mean, they just didn't want to pay Sean Strickland. And, like, I know his, I don't know if you guys heard his reaction, but Rudy would probably be better to just it sound better coming from Rudy than me, but yeah, it's a kind of weird, man. That was a necessary fight, and give him the shot, man. Like, pay the man, but I don't know. They're still not a main event for you.
I'll tell you why they didn't want to pay me, because they're a bunch of pussies, and they don't smoke 50 packs of cigarettes a day.
Man, well,
oh my God.
We'll see next week. They have to have a fight lined up, so it's either going to be Chimaev or bug it. Paul Craig takes it, you know, short notice. Let's go.
Oh, dude, and he's unscathed.
Yeah, man, I don't know what they're going to do about that, but I think Izzy's not happy about it too, because you know that's a big card for him in Australia and shit, man. Like, what's going on? That's pyramids in itself. But week to week, we'll find out, and hopefully by next week, we'll talk about that matchup, whatever it is. Adesanya, Chimaev, I think it's going to happen. But a fight that might happen, that should happen, Cowboy Cerrone wants to beat the shit out of Andrew Tate, and I hope it happens.
Wow.
Right, Rudy?
Yeah, I'm all for it, man. He's been talking a lot of shit to Andrew Tate. They've been, you know, talking shit back and forth. But, Cowboy Cerrone called him a fake champ. Didn't he say you could buy one of those belts?
On eBay.
On eBay.
Sorry about that, fellas.
Oh, welcome back, Mark. Yeah. No, we're talking Cowboy.
Fucking updated on me.
Cowboy Cerrone, Andrew Tate. How does a Cowboy beat him, Mark?
Head kick. Yeah. Right to his fucking dome.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Well, speaking about Albuquerque fighters, a known associate, a known legend, kind of some concerning videos he posted. Diego Sanchez. Should we be worried about Diego Sanchez, Rob?
We should be worried about Diego Sanchez.
I've always been worried about him.
We should have been worried about him since, like...
Since the fucking Ultimate Fighter.
It's tough.
Wow.
Wrapping himself in fucking that plastic and shit. And I don't know, dude. Yeah. So Diego Sanchez, bro, this guy, we really need to do some sort of intervention with him.
Yeah, it's not good. Like, I don't know, man.
Well, let's have him on the show then.
He won't jump on.
I know.
Yeah, that's, but it's weird though that he came about popping up in the news, and it's always for like something very controversial and like just weird as fuck, you know what I mean? But I don't know, he looks weird as shit too. He has like a big ass beard and long hair, and
yeah
it's a trip, man. Diego's a trip.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll a lot of weird, a lot of weird things are happening with Mr. Diego Sanchez. You know, it's been a while since we've heard anything of him and about him, and then this.
Yeah. Yeah. But shout out to what's it called, our boy Sam Alvey. I don't know if you guys seen his food truck that he has. It's called Food Fight. It's super badass. Sam is the man, and check out his pod or his YouTube channel. Hilarious content. We've had him on the show, so. But yeah, Sam Alvey having a food truck is one of the best things that could ever happen, you know?
Hell yeah, man. We need to get him back on so he can talk about that.
Yeah, so he's Sam's pure comedy, man. He's MMA gold, Sam Alvey.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yes.
But what is I going to mention too? Well, there was some fight bookings too. We could touch on over go UFC 291. Also the sudden passing of Sinead O'Connor.
Hmm.
Right? Conor McGregor was paying tribute to her. You guys seen that?
Yeah.
That is
sad.
Not sure what happened, though. But, yeah, 59 or 50, 56 years old, Sinead O'Connor.
That's so young.
Yeah. But, yeah, probably one of the most epic walkouts in UFC history, right? The Conor walkout?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tony Bennett also passed away on the 20th. I was going to...
That's right. I heard about that. That's okay.
Yeah, so Tony Bennett dies. And I even told my wife when she told me about Tony Bennett, I was like, hey, it comes in threes. And then, bam, Sinead O'Connor dies. So who's next?
No, he was what? How old?
Damn. Who's next? You're some morbid-ass motherfucking questions, bro. Yeah, but, I mean, if we got to pick somebody.
I mean.
Vince Russo could be next. I wouldn't mind that.
I don't know, but so he was old,
Tony. Tony Bennett was 96 years old.
Holy shit! Are you serious? He was that old?
96. Yeah, and Sinead O'Connor was 56.
Yeah. Now Tony lived a long, good life, man. I don't want to live till I'm 96. Put it that way, you know what I mean?
Tony Bennett had less health problems than LeBron James' son.
Oh man, that's crazy. LeBron's son, he's good now, but Bronny James, cardiac arrest. That's pretty nuts.
Like, that's fucking crazy, bro. I don't know, man.
Yeah. And it was at the UFC. Yeah, at the tryouts, I believe, or the summer camp for the USC for he's attending college. So that's scary shit. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it is.
But yeah, the fight bookings, like, we'll close out outside the cage news. The fight bookings, we heard that they announced that Tai Tuivasa will fight Volkov on that Sydney card. Of course, there's no main event, so it's only right they got Tuivasa on there because he's always delivering some crazy action fight and going out on his shield. So I love that he's on that card. And I don't know, they might have to call up Mr. Volkanovski to headline that sucker, right, Rob? Like, what are they going to do?
Hell yeah. Doesn't
Volkanovski right now?
He don't give a shit. He'll still fight.
If Topuria can make the date.
Surgery, though, doesn't he? Or no?
Well, he already had the surgery successfully.
Okay, so. He did have another surgery after that last fight.
Well, he fought injured against Yair and still beat the brakes on him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But yeah, they announced Gamrot versus Fazayev is the main event for, September 23rd fight night?
Yeah.
Is it the Mexican Independence Day fight night, Rob? Is that what it is?
I think so, because is it the same card as
No, the Mexican Independence Day is like the week before, because I know I think Fed has a fight on that card too as well. I need to talk to him and confirm. That should be announced soon. Yep. Yeah, I think it's the week after. But yeah, Fazayev.
No,
and,
it is. It's September 16th, man. Alexa Grasso versus Valentina
Shevchenko. Yeah, Alexa Grasso versus Shevchenko. That's the same card, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and then the week after the Gamrot Fazayev fight night. So they're adding fights to that card as well. So, but I mean, the most important fights, like we were talking, the Adesanya doesn't have an opponent, and we don't know about Colby and Leon. And man, I don't know. There's some big fights out there that just we don't know. It's the unknown right now.
Yeah, they just announced Alex Caceres versus Giga Chikadze, bro.
That's right. That's
I've seen that.
UFC Singapore, August 26th. That's that's an interesting fight, man.
It is.
Uh-huh. Alex Caceres has been on a tear lately, and Giga Chikadze's Giga hasn't fought in a while, man, but he's back.
Yeah, and Giga was straight up like slated for the belt, and then he got smoked. You know what I mean? Like, he got destroyed. And now, like, I mean, Alex is a tough test for him, though, for sure. Absolutely a banger fight, though, for sure. What else do I want to hit? Well, most of the UFC 291, boys. This card is probably going to go down as like the banger of the fucking year for sure. It has on paper, it has to deliver, right? Like, come on.
Oh, yeah, dude. For sure. Bad motherfucker built.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this poster.
What did Dustin Poirier say? He said like he liked it in the embedded. It's like Usual Suspects or whatever. But I think
it's all right. It's all right. It's not okay. Horrible.
It's a six.
Gives me the Brady Bunch vibe.
I'm giving it a 7. I like it.
That's long. Mark.
Yeah,
6. 7.5. Yeah. On paper, this card is a 10, right? I mean, do you guys want to do the whole card, or how do you want to do this one?
Because of time, man, let's just do the because I got things to do. Let's do the main card.
No, cancel it. Not a real fight fan. Doing the whole card.
Well, let's run it down. Let's do the prelims, quick prelims pick. Rudy, you got the honors of
all right.
Telling us the fights and the odds.
Yeah, so we got the first fight, women's flyweight bout, Miranda Maverick versus Priscilla Cachoeira. Miranda Maverick's coming in at a -335 favorite, +260 underdog for Priscilla Cachoeira. I'm going with Priscilla Cachoeira. She's
going
on a
with
2-win fight streak, and she's been doing good, man. Miranda Maverick.
Yeah.
I don't know, bro. She's hasn't really been all there.
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
I'm going for Cachoeira, man.
Maybe a late sub or so, but Cachoeira's tricky, man. Like, ever since she got beat down to a pulp by Valentina, she's had some good fights after that. Mm-hmm. I picked them pretty well, so I am going to pick her in this fight because Maverick, I can't trust her. She's a pretty action-packed fighter. She likes to make it a dog fight. But Cachoeira is that she's right there too with her, and I think they probably won't see the scorecards. Nope. It'll probably go to Cachoeira. Yeah. But next fight up, Matthew Semelsberger versus Uros Medic, a guy who fought our boy Alon Cruz. That was his last fight in the UFC. Men's welterweight. Rudy, what are the odds? Semelsberger's got to be the favorite.
Yeah, he's a favorite, slight favorite, -215, +174 underdog for Uros Medic. Yeah, man, I'm going with a dog on this one, too.
Hell yeah.
This is a dog or pass fight, and Semelsberger still has one of the best nicknames in the game. I'm always going to pick him for that reason. And, yeah, knockout, Semelsberger. First round knockout.
Damn.
There you go.
Semi the Jedi. But moving on to prelims, this fight probably won't see the judges as well. 125 flyweight action, CJ Vergara against Vinicius Salvador. CJ Vergara had one of the greatest comeback fights in the UFC history, right? Last time we seen him, he was running from his opponent, and then he came back and fucking destroyed him in the third round. So, I don't know. Vinicius Salvador is a finisher, man. It's an important fight for flyweight, though. They're a little bit far out in rankings, but I'm pretty sure Salvador is a favorite, right, Rudy? Are you going to go with him?
It looks like CJ Vergara is a favorite, you know, it's moderate favorite. He's a -150, +125 underdog for Salvador. I'm going to put my money on another dog.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with the dog on this one. No.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have a guy who I can't trust anymore, even though I like the dude all his entire career. But Jake Matthews fights a short notice opponent in Darius Flowers. Darius Flowers came from, what, the Contender Series, right? And he had that nasty, like, slam KO. So he hasn't fought in a while. So, I mean, he's been on the shelf, but, I mean, the guy's a killer, man. And Jake Matthews can't be trusted. I don't know. It's a coin.
No.
Can't
be trusted. You know, I'm
going for Darius Flowers, man.
Jake is a minus 260 favorite. Darius is a plus 205 underdog. It's four dogs in a row. My money's on Darius Flowers, bro. If this hits,
dogs hit, there's some money to be made.
Some
on this
money,
card,
bro.
Sure.
Money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is a game time decision. Pick on that one. I'm going to wait to the weigh-ins. Jake Matthews, though, he goes out there sometimes and looks like a world beater. And the next fight, he fucking gets his ass beat. You know what I mean? So, against lower competition too. So, but moving on.
The next fight.
Roman Kopylov and Claudio Ribeiro. Man,
this is my sleeper fight of the night for the prelims. Like on the prelims, this is one of my favorite fights on the prelims. I don't know why, but it is.
Man, it's gonna be a good one. They're way out there in rankings too. I don't know what's the odds on this one, Rudy.
Looks like Claudio Ribeiro's plus 170 underdog, minus 210 favorite for Roman Kopylov. And I'm going with a favorite on this one, Roman Kopylov.
Yeah, I like Kopylov. He's been finishing fights lately. And, Ribeiro, man, I don't know. Kopylov's properly as a favorite because, I think he gets the job done.
Yeah. I think Kopylov is going to fucking KO Ribeiro, I say second round, man.
I think we're all in favor of Kopylov. Yeah, sure.
Kopylov, third round fight, KO.
Next fight up, I don't know why they have this fight in Utah, but it could get ugly after the first round when they both gassed out. But Derek Lewis against Marcos Rogério de Lima. And it didn't sound good when Derek Lewis said he passed out, had a horrible weight cut last time, and felt like he died. Like, that's not good.
No. And I think the Lima is going to put a stamp on Lewis.
He could, in fact, because the leg kicks. And like I said, yes. if it goes past one round, kicks. Yeah. But if Derek Lewis happens to get taken down and then he just pops back up and catches him with one shot, I could see that happening too.
Yeah,
but Marcos is a minus 230 favorite, plus 183 underdog for Derek Lewis. I like Marcos in this fight. He's a really smart fighter, man. He doesn't take unnecessary risks, and he'll finish you when he can. But if he can't, he'll grind you out to a decision.
Tear you out.
Yeah. So I think this is not a good fight for Derek Lewis. He's probably going to get his fourth loss and pink slip for this fight. Unfortunately.
Hey, but then you can go. You could go fight Francis Ngannou in PFL, and make $2 million.
I would love it, dude.
Dude, that'd be badass.
There you go, PFL, if you're listening. That's your matchup.
Perfect.
But moving on, this is, a pretty big mismatch here. I'm not hating on Trevin Giles. I just know Bonfim is just a savage, man. And, like, I don't know, man. I can't seem to pick a Trevin Giles fight properly. But Gabriel Bonfim, the guy's a rising star, man. And it's a pretty good test. I'm pretty sure he's a favorite. I'm going to go Bonfim. Gets to finish, though.
Yeah, he is he opened up at minus 300 favorite, and it was a plus 240 underdog for Giles. Right now, he's a minus 345 favorite, plus 270 underdog for Giles. And, yeah, man, that's my money's on Bonfim.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they're close in ranking as far as they're 49-43, according to Tapology, so... But yeah, that's a fight to showcase Bonfim on the prelims leading into the pay per view for sure. That's what that fight's about. So, but moving on to the main card, a fight that Kevin Holland's been asking for a while. Michael Chiesa, he hasn't been active, man. He's still number 13 in the world. He's that badass, right? Because Michael Chiesa, we know he's a killer too. Kevin Holland's gonna have to bring his jiu-jitsu black belt.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he gets taken down. It's going to be, man, we've seen Kevin Holland get taken down and beat up. But then again, the guy's got some great submissions. I think at some point, Kevin Holland is going to knock out Chiesa. I got Kevin Holland all the way.
Yeah, I agree, man. This fight, he is a slight favorite, minus 145 favorite. Michael Chiesa is a plus 120 underdog. Like you said, Chiesa hasn't fought. It's going almost on 2 years, 1 year, 7 months. Kevin Holland, the most active fighter on the UFC roster, if I'm not mistaken. Coming up fresh off a win against Santiago Ponzinibbio, Michael Chiesa has dropped two in a row. Most of his wins are by decision, bro, and it's going to be hard dragging a fighter like Kevin Holland to a decision unless you're a fucking
blanket. I don't even think it's going to go to a decision.
Yeah, I don't think
bro.
So either, man.
I think Kevin Holland's going to fucking finish him.
Holland getting frustrated in the first round and unleashing his frustration on Chiesa's chin on the second.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Holland did fight like a Kevin Holland fought the stand-up fight with Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. He's that crazy, you know what I mean? So he could have probably maybe taken him down, you know what I mean? But it's like Chiesa, I don't know, he is good on the ground. It could be interesting grappling exchanges on the ground in this fight. But I think Kevin Holland by sub or just a nasty KO for sure. That's my pick. So, but speaking of nasty KOs and finishes and blood and everything involved,
we will see blood
against Bobby Green, and they got pretty heated today at the presser.
Yeah, Bobby Green was dressed like fucking 50 Cent, about to jump on Def Jam video game.
Man, I mean, Tony Ferguson, man, given that he has that 5-fight losing streak, like, these are all killers and champions, you know what I mean? So you can't knock it. Tony hasn't seemed like he's been in the right place for a while now, so he seems pretty happy. He looks healthy. Bobby Green's, like, type of opponent to bring out the dog in Tony, man, and make it a salsa dance and some blood, and that's what Tony loves to do, man. So,
Tony's got a badass walkout song. So,
oh man, when that walkout hit, that's just the best ever,
right?
I guess Tony's probably the underdog, right, Brady?
Oh yeah, man, he's a +300 underdog, -400 favorite for Bobby Green.
Damn,
I don't know, man. I like the way Tony looked. You know, Bobby Green came out there barking, and dude, Tony didn't even flinch, bro. He just stood there. Hopefully he doesn't just stand there like old Mitch McConnell did today.
Kukui will show no mercy.
Yeah, bro.
Yep, I want Kukui to win, bro.
I'm going with Tony Ferguson. I'm putting my money on another dog. I can't bet on a guy in Bobby Green that is his topology pick. He looks like Charles Felony Bennett, bro.
But Bobby, whenever he's got that goatee with like the flame design or whatever, he usually has a fucking fire performance.
In all likelihood, he's gonna win, man. So if you're betting money, put your money on Bobby Green. But throw a bet Tony Ferguson's way, man. I'm never counting this dude out. Bobby Green's the kind of guy that wants to put on a show, and you know Ferguson will capitalize on that shit, bro. I don't know. I guess it's whoever. Whoever gets to the punch first, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tony's a crazy man, and he'll make this fight an entertaining fight, and it's like an offering to the MMA gods.
I want to see him throw sand, bro.
Oh, man.
I want to see him throw sand. I love when he does that shit.
Yeah. Tony Ferguson by a bloodbath.
By sanding.
But next up, this fight is absolutely it's probably my favorite fight on the card. I know Michelle Pereira is crazy, throws fucking spinning kicks, and you know, I mean, the guy's wild. Seen him fight in person, like when he fought Diego Sanchez, that shit was wild, man. And Diego won that fight, keep in mind.
Michael Pereira is that character that you use when you're pushing all the buttons and he just does whatever in the video game.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why. I've heard a lot of people say that, like, Pereira may have, opportunities on the ground and wrestling all that. That shit ain't happening, man. This is a stand-up fight.
No, it's
fight.
Not on the ground
not
at all.
Not against Steven. Fuck no, bro. Steven is going to make this a fucking stand-up fight. A
great show for us all.
Steven Thompson, what is in the embedded? He's doing all the right things. He went into, like, that water hole that's, like, blessed water. Michelle Pereira is running with the army, like definitely a good lead up. And man, I love this fight. I love Steven Thompson. Yeah, man, this is straight up real blood sport shit right here with Steven Thompson. Yep. And shout out to Anthony Pettis, the only guy to ever knock out Steven Thompson. Only guy ever.
Oh, yeah.
So Pettis is the GOAT.
The odds on this one, Steven Thompson's a slight favorite, -155, +130 underdog for Michael Pineda. Sadly, I'm going to put my money on Michael Pineda.
Okay, yeah. I think he's
got the skills to get this to the ground and, you know, kind of be a nuisance for Stephen Thompson. He struggles against grapplers. So yeah. If Michael Pineda is smart, that's what he's going to do. But if he's not, he's going to go out there and try to stand and bang with this dude. He's going to get caught.
Yeah, he is.
Just like Kevin Holland did, but Pereira's wild too. So we're going to see some amazing strikes and some wicked shit like coming on from both sides. But I like Stephen Thompson in a very close decision. Very good fight right here. So, but moving on to the co-main event.
This is my fight of the night.
There we go.
It really should be the belt on the line, but anytime Jan Błachowicz fights, it's the real deal, man. And Alex Pereira moving up. Jeez, like,
bro. I think for Alex moving up a weight class, it's gonna be a better weight class for him.
Bro, he's for huge, his, man. He's even for huge his for that style weight class.
I'm telling you, bro. For this, for the style of fighter that he is, to come up to this weight class.
Did you see the face offs against Jan? He looked a lot bigger, bro.
Dude, he looked huge and in shape.
Yeah, man. Well, Alex, we know what he's capable of in there. Jan, Polish warlord. You know what I mean? Like, if he was born,
Jan's not going to back down though at all.
Yeah, like if he was born back in the day, he'd be leading like armies across fucking Europe.
He'd be leading the fucking Vikings.
But I have a feeling that he starts as Alex. And
don't say that. That hurts my heart. I love Alex, bro.
Hey, but it leads to the fight that Mark always wanted to see is the Yuri rematch in the UFC, right? So,
you called me out there, didn't you? I want to see a rematch. I really do, but I also want to see Yuri versus Alex, though.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I'd rather win see either. That. Yeah, the odds on this one, -110, dead even. -110 for Jan, -110 for Alex.
Nice.
It's a pick'em's fight. I'm going with Alex Pereira just based on size. And I don't know, man. I like Jan, but he likes to stand and bang. Hopefully he's smart, bro, and takes Pereira down. But, you know, Pereira's no slouch, bro. Really? He's strong, and he's been training with Glover. So, yeah, man, this is going to be a great fight. I'm picking Alex Pereira. I think he's gonna clip Jan Błachowicz and take him out. Yeah. First round KO.
Ooh.
I have a feeling Jan's post-fight speech will be great. He's like, I just proved I'm fight for title next. You give me shots. Yeah. Where is Yuri? We fight again.
Yes.
But
main event.
Amazing. This is wild, man. The BMF title has now moved to 155. Okay. Well, too bad it wasn't the years ago when Tony was at on his run. He'd be the BMF, right? Like,
right.
Of course he will be.
Oh, man. But two guys that fought, 5 years ago?
Yep.
Dustin Poirier, I heard his, you know, the lead up to the fight, everything he's talking, like, he kind of doesn't really need a fight. You know what I mean? Like, he just, you know, he loves it. He just loves this shit. And the fight against Justin Gaethje is the fight that gets him up. And Poirier is a G, man, soldier. Justin Gaethje, one of the best to ever do it. It's proper that they're fighting now. And for the BMF title, yeah, that's cool. But hopefully it gets defended more often. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But Justin Gaethje, one of my favorite fighters of all time, man. Poirier, future Hall of Famer. So this is like a legacy fight, you know what I mean? And it's a treat for all of us MMA fans and people that don't know who either of these guys are, you know, watching this fight, they're going to love MMA watching these two guys in the cage. You know?
Yeah, man, there's going to be blood. There's going to be on all out.
There's going to be guts. There's going to be boogers. You're the booger man now.
There's going to be everything in this fight, man. I mean, it's going to be a badass. And I hope it lasts all 5 rounds.
Oh, man. It's a good chance it does. I mean, look at the ladder.
Yeah. I hope so.
The odds on this, -145 favorite for Dustin Poirier, +120 underdog for Justin Gaethje. I think I saw Chandler saying that he thinks Justin Gaethje is going to win this by decision. I'm thinking Dustin Poirier wins this by decision.
I do too. I want Dustin Poirier to win. Although we've been following Gaethje since the WFO, or what was it, WSOF or whatever it's called?
Yeah, WSOF.
WSOF. So it's like, you know, you grow up watching these fighters. Bro, like
honestly, this is such a fan favorite fight.
It is.
I don't think anybody's gonna care who fucking wins this fight.
Exactly. Nobody's gonna give a shit.
Yeah, hopefully
they're just gonna have fun.
Yeah, hopefully the judges don't do some screwy shit if it gets to that. Dude. And I just hope I hope there's no problems. I hope we get what we're expecting.
Yes.
Yeah, just a clean win on either side, because we know Justin Gaethje.
Gaethje's gonna unleash those kicks.
Yeah, I mean, they're both familiar with each other. Both of it's crazy too that they're both like 6-2 since they last fought. They both had the same losses to the same guys, and then here they are fighting for the BMF title. But yeah, man, it's definitely a treat. It's also good that we don't have The Rock placing the belt on the winner. We got Masvidal, but is Masvidal really the BMF champ? Like, I think Colby Covington took that title away from him, right? Like,
no, but Masvidal took it back at a steakhouse. Remember that?
Oh, man, I totally forgot.
That's right.
We didn't know it was him, but yeah, it was him. You're right.
It was him.
But I will pick Dustin Poirier.
Yep.
Gets the job done again. Not a finish, but if it does happen, I won't be surprised, because both these guys will just go out on their shield. And Justin Gaethje has fought smarter recently and taken a lot less damage. His fight with Fizayev, he styled on him, man, and we know how good Fizayev is. So both guys are at the top of their game. Legacy fight, man. Love it. Go with Dustin Poirier.
Bro, so if I get all my bets correct, if Tony Ferguson, miracle win, $6 bet would net me $50,222.
Damn.
But if I throw Bobby Green in the mix, you know, that $6 bet will be $15,000. Still good. Yeah, man.
Hey.
I don't know, man. I have a real strong feeling that a lot of these underdogs are gonna hit, man. Especially in those earlier fights. This is a really great card to bet on.
Hell yeah!
Pay attention to my picks, Rudy's picks, Mark's picks, because each and every week there's one of us that probably can make some money.
Don't pay attention to my picks. I hardly ever come with Tapology picks.
Rob, I'm
a hit or miss.
Rob had Molly McCann by a
TKO. Shut up, though. I did it.
Yeah, he picked Derek Lewis to win by submission.
Yeah.
Wow.
First round.
Dude, if it happens, that'd be great.
If that happened, I'd laugh my ass off.
My lock of the last week is Danny Roberts getting KO'd. My lock guaranteed pick this week is Derek Lewis gets choked out.
Derek Lewis is going to put on a rear naked choke, bro. Oh
no, Derek God. Lewis gassers, nearly wins the fight, but still gets choked out.
Yeah, my lock was Alex Pereira, first round KO.
Oh, dude, yeah, hell yeah.
Lewis gasses out and gets choked out.
Nah. Right on. Well, guys,
not many sandwiches, but I guess
no. I don't think there's going to be any sandwiches. I really don't.
Yeah, no.
That has the potential to be one, which is Lewis, because you know how he can turn fights into a sandwich fight, but because he can just slap it up, you know what I mean. Other than that, I feel like it's going to be a really good card.
Yep.
Worth the fight on. And worth every penny. No.
Right on. Well, fellas, it's time to wrap it up.
It's time for Verdum Face.
Quick shout out to Alon Cruz for joining us tonight. You know, sorry about the earlier today. We had a little hiccup, but thanks for everyone for the support, and I really do appreciate it. David, you know what to do, bro.
Yes, sir. Another Thursday night in the books, episode 182. Thanks to Alon Cruz. Check him out in a couple weeks. Bellator. Oh, man. Been a fun show, boys. Thursday nights is our spot. Rudy with the Verdum face. But but for all the latest combat sports news around the world, around the clock, go to FightBookMMA.com. For all our previous episodes in audio format, wherever you get your podcasts, look us up, FightBookMMA, sitting ringside. As always, for myself, Dave Rodriguez, Roberto Villa, the boss, Mark Ambio up north, Rudy Lara, producer at hand down south. We are sitting ringside. Enjoy the fights. History will be made. See you next week.
Peace. Keep your eye out for aliens, folks. Yeah. It's all right. I mean, it was just like the intro, bro.
Yeah, so it's I can get that. All right, guys, I gotta go.
All right, boys.
Have a good night, man. Later.